In a recent video, Dave Ramsey described those folks who promote the 4% rule of retirement withdrawals as stupid, goobers, and morons. He even described the rule as bogus and said that it, his words, pisses him off to no end. And he said he's perfectly comfortable withdrawing not 4%, but 8%. Well, we're going to put that view to the test today. Hey, everybody, my name is Rob Berger. This is the Financial Freedom Show, where we talk about things like the 4% rule and how to invest and save for retirement, and then, you know, how to actually survive once you retire. If that's a topic of interest to you, I encourage you to subscribe to the channel. I also send out a newsletter every Sunday morning. You can get a link to that newsletter. It's free below this video. So I will link to the video. Dave and his daughter, Rachel, it's a call-in show. A listener called in and had said that, you know, he's thinking 4 to 5%, even heard 3%. And Dave kind of just, for like 9 minutes, just went off. And I will link to that video below this one. But it's actually a really important topic. Dave is fundamentally wrong. I have, without equivocation, he is wrong that 8% withdrawal rate would be incredibly, incredibly dangerous. The question is why? And why does he believe that it's perfectly fine and he'd be comfortable with it? And then anyone espousing a 4% withdrawal rate is just a moron. Well, I'm going to try to avoid the name calling today, but I want to walk you through the problem. Now, here is his explanation. He first says that historically, the S&P 500 has returned roughly 12%. If you go back, you know, over a long period of time, we're going to actually look at that briefly. He says inflation has averaged 4%. So if you take the 12%, subtract the 4%, and you need to keep that in your portfolio so you can get those inflation adjustments each year, and that's perfectly sensible, that leaves you with 8%. Now, I will certainly agree with Dave, the 12 minus 4 equals 8. But that's about where our agreement ends. So let's dive right in. I'm going to actually show you very quickly the whole business about 12%. This comes from Vanguard. If we go down here and look at a 100% stock portfolio, we'll see that Dave is right. From 1926 to 2021, according to Vanguard. Now, this doesn't include 2022. We know that was ugly, so maybe this would come down a bit. But through 2021, stocks have returned 12.3%. Now, I do want to show you one other thing very quickly. Let me pull it up. This is from a tool called Portfolio Visualizer. Here it is. This one doesn't go back to 1926. It goes back to 1972. That's still 50, 51 years. I guess back to what? The Nixon administration or the beginning of it. If we put in the U.S. stock market and put 100% in and analyze it, you'll see that the compound annual growth rate is a lot lower than 12%, still quite good, but it's 10.25%. I point this out because we've got to keep in mind that what period of time you look at matters. And even over a very, very long period of time, 50, 51 years, you can see the stocks return substantially less than 12%. What we don't know is what they're going to return in retirement. But what we can do is we can make the assumptions that Dave is making, that you're going to get 12% through retirement, and then inflation is only going to be 4%. And then we can look at a withdrawal rate that begins with, on a $1 million portfolio, $80,000. And I want to look at it in two different ways. The first is with a tool called New Retirement. Here it is. It's a retirement planning tool that I use for our own retirement. This happens to be a demo account. And I'll leave a link to this tool below the video, but I think it's an excellent tool. So here's what I've done to test Dave's theory. I first created, it's actually just one account. I made it a Roth account. Now that's important. You can see it's got $1 million, and you can see I've got the rate of return at 12%. Now, the reason it's important is what this tool will do is calculate your taxes for you and add them each year as an expense. But of course, since this is a Roth IRA, there are no taxes taken out. Now, if you were watching this video and you say, Rob, I've got traditional IRAs and money in taxable accounts, that's fine. If you take the results I'm going to show you, you would just have to realize that when you pull your $80,000 out of different account types, some of that money is going to have to go to taxes. But I wanted to give every benefit of the doubt I could to Dave's theory, so this doesn't have any taxes, right? Because it's a Roth. I've set up expenses. You can see it right here, just under $6,700 a month, which comes out to $80,000 a year. And I've even, if we go to income, I've removed Social Security because I just want to test the $1 million portfolio. That's all I want to look at. And we can come up here to the overview. Now, what is this telling us? You can see that the chance of success is only 33%. So apparently, New Retirement disagrees with Dave. But why? Well, this top line here, this green line that looks really promising, that's just going up and up and up and up and ends, you know, 30 years later with almost $3 million still in savings after you've spent all this money, that's taking that 12% rate of return that I plugged in, and it's just saying every year you're going to get 12%, like clockwork, and inflation's always going to be 4%. And if we make that assumption, Dave's right. Things look great. What's the problem with that? The problem is that's not how markets work. Sometimes the market's up 20%. Sometimes it's down 20%. As we know, even recently, sometimes inflation's 1%. Sometimes it's 9%. It goes up and it goes down, both inflation and market returns. And what we've known for a very, very, very long time, something that Dave overlooked, is that the order in which these returns and inflation occur from year to year as we're in retirement, they matter. If we get really bad years, that is, stock market losses and high inflation in the early years of retirement, it has a compounding effect. And the fact that over a 30-year retirement, we might still end up averaging 12% because maybe in the last 10 years, the stock market did great, that doesn't save us. We can have bad years to begin with that are so bad that it tanks our retirement. And in fact, I can show you. It's right here. Because while that top line just assumes 12% every year from now until eternity, this darker green line doesn't. This is a Monte Carlo analysis where it tries to simulate reality. Some years are good, some years are bad. With stock market returns, with inflation, sometimes it's up, sometimes it's down. And what it said is we ran a 500 different simulations, and if we look at a 90% success ratio or odds. So that, you know, what could you do here with only 10% of those simulations failing? Well, you basically go bust in 10 years. That is to say, when you actually inject what I'll call reality into this, rather than just assuming we get 12% every single year, you will see that, in fact, you have a very, very, very good chance of running out of money. Now, you might say, well, that's a simulation, Rob. That's great. But let's use historical data. Let's actually look at the past. You know, Dave likes to say that in the past, the markets returned 12% a year. Of course, that depends on, you know, exactly what years you look at, but fine. Well, let's look at history. We can do that with the second tool I want to show you today. It's called FiCalc. This is free. Actually, New Retirement, there's a free version. I use the paid version. FiCalc is a free calculator. So we're going to leave the duration of our retirement at 30 years. We've got a $1 million portfolio. We're going to put all of it in stocks because that's what Dave says to do. And we'll go here. So we've got it all in stocks. And we're going to use the constant dollar approach, which adjusts for inflation. And instead of 40,000, we're going to start with 80. That's what he said we could do. And here's our if we use historical data, here's our chance of success, which means this goes back to 1871 and it looks at year by year, 30 year periods. And it says, about 40% of the time, you actually do survive. You still have money left over at the end of 30 years. But unfortunately, 60% of the time, you run out of money. We can actually come down here and look at the specifics. A check mark means you survived. An X means, yeah, you ran out of money. So we've actually had, as you see here, in recent years, a lot of check marks. We have to, apart from retiring in 1990, you have to go all the way back to a retirement beginning in 1977 to run out of money. Why is that? Well, we've had pretty good markets the last 30 or 40 years. Interest rates have slowly come down over a 40-year period. Things have been really good. But we can see here, yeah, things were not good at all for even a longer period of time. And then, of course, if we go back further, you know, it's a mix. And you could open up each of these and see how quickly you're going to run out of money. Sometimes you run out of money super quick, right? That happens when you've got bad markets and high inflation. And if you're old enough like I am, you remember that from the 70s and early 80s. Now, what I'm describing to you is nothing new. It's called sequence of risk. It's this idea of you can't just use averages. You can't just create a retirement plan that says we'll average 12% or we'll average 10%. The order of those returns year by year matter, as does the order of inflation. That's what Bill Behnken's 1994 paper, we take from that what's called the 4% rule. But the real takeaway of that paper was, You can't use averages. We've known that for three or four decades now, and it's something that I gather Dave has overlooked. I don't know. He didn't mention it in his video, and it explains why his view that you could very comfortably take 8% because you're going to earn 12% every year, and or even on average, and you're going to have on average 4% inflation, it just doesn't work, or at least it doesn't work enough times for it to be a reliable, comfortable way to think about retirement. Now, does that mean you can only take out 4%? No, it's not a question of what you can and can't take out. It's a question of understanding the pros and cons and the risks of whatever you decide. Historically, 4% has been that initial withdrawal rate that has survived in pretty much every 30-year retirement period going back to 1871. Does that mean 5% is unreasonable? No, not necessarily. You just have to recognize that if you happen to retire in a bad period, which you might not know for the first 10 years or so of retirement, you might have to cut back. On the other hand, maybe it'll turn out to have been a really good time to retire and you can spend a little more. It's not a question of right or wrong, but it is a question of understanding the risks and understanding that you can't simply rely on average returns and average inflation to come up with a retirement plan. At the end of the day, I think for the vast majority of people, an 8% withdrawal rate gives you the chance of succeeding that's so low, it's just simply not reasonable. And it's something that Dave, I guess, just hasn't focused on. Who knows? Maybe he'll watch my video. So there you go. That's my take on Dave Ramsey's 8% withdrawal rate. If you have any questions, leave them in the comments below. I'd be happy to help you out any way I can. And until next time, remember, the best thing money can buy is financial freedom.